I grew up in what I thought was a pretty typical, normal Catholic family. We went to Mass on Sundays and holy days. We never missed a meal prayer. We always prayed together before we would eat meals together. We'd do the normal Lenten devotions, perhaps the rice bowl from CRS and giving things up. We had our Advent calendars and Advent wreaths. So we did all what I thought were the normal Catholic family things. But there were a couple outliers. A couple times that I remember when we went a little further, a different experience. One of them was during the winter, and in northern Kentucky, we don't get a whole lot of snow, but in this winter, we got lots of snow and lots of ice. And so on one weekend, we weren't able to go to Sunday Mass. The roads were just too bad to cross the river over the bridge into southern Ohio where our parish was. And so our family made the decision to stay at home that Sunday. We missed Mass together. But instead, we gathered in our living room, the room that we hardly ever used, the room that usually had our Christmas tree in it, and we ate when we opened Christmas presents around it. But it was a room in our house that we hardly ever used. But I remember gathering there that Sunday when we weren't able to get the Mass, and we prayed a rosary together as a family. That memory sticks out. We weren't able to get to Mass, and so we did the best we could. We did something different. We prayed as a family differently than we usually did. And then another memory. We invited missionaries into our homes a few times, and one of those times, one of the missionaries played guitar, and so he'd pull out his guitar in the evening when they would get home, and they'd strum it up, and we'd sing some songs together. And then those missionaries would look at us as a family and say, "Do you want to join us for night prayer?" And we'd all look at each other. Sure! So we prayed with the missionaries in our home. And we'd do that every night that they were with us. And it was different. It wasn't something we usually did as a family. I mean, we would usually say our own night prayers in our rooms, or when I was little, my mom would say my night prayers with me in my room. But it was a different experience to be all in the living room together, offering up petitions to the Lord, thanking Him for our day, singing a song, and closing our day together. Those two outliers stand out for me outside of our normal Catholicity, our normal family activities. And if I had to name the experience of these two events, I would name them this: Holy Communion. Holy Communion. That's what I would name those experiences. Holy Communion. And I use those words very purposefully. They're words that probably cut to your heart as they do to mine in this moment. You might ask, "What do you mean? What do you mean you would call those moments Holy Communion? You weren't in a church. You didn't have the Eucharist in your house. How could you call those moments Holy Communion?" But when did communion automatically start meaning Eucharist? When did it just mean Eucharist? Communion is more than just Eucharist. It is Eucharist, of course, but it's more than that. Even the word communion, it means union with. Communion. And so those moments in my house when I was with my family, worshiping God, saying prayers together, those were times of communion. times when we were unified with God and unified with one another as the mystical body of Christ, as a family. I think it's no coincidence, brothers and sisters, that during a time when the family is under attack, families all around the world are under attack. They're distressed. Families are crumbling in our society. And the belief in the true presence of the Holy Eucharist, that it really is the body and blood of Jesus, is at an all-time low. You're stuck in your homes with your families. At a time when family is being attacked, this idea of the Eucharist as a true presence as an all-time low, you're home alone, and you're not able to receive the Eucharist. I think it's no coincidence. It's forcing us to re-examine our understanding of Holy Communion. What does it mean to be in communion with God? What does it mean to be in communion with His mystical body here on earth? You know, we're not the first generation, and we won't be the last to have to worship in our homes, to pray in our homes, to receive Holy Communion, perhaps, in our homes. We're not the first generation to do this, and we won't be the last. Look at our readings today. They all take place where? In the home. The Passover story with Moses and those getting ready to flee Egypt. The Lord passed over their homes as they were in there together, fearful, wondering what would happen, spreading blood over their lintels and doorposts. They were making sacrifice at home. At the Last Supper, Jesus and the 12 are in the upper room. They're not in some grand basilica. They're at home, sharing communion with one another. And even in the early church, we didn't have churches. We didn't have basilicas and cathedrals. It was the home. The home gathered the community, and they worshiped together, singing hymns, praising God, even, yes, celebrating the Eucharist in the home. The domestic church in those days was the church. There wasn't anything else. And even think of times of war. Times of imprisonment. Saints have gone months and even years without receiving the Eucharist. But they couldn't have lived without Holy Communion. They still enjoyed that communion with God and the communion they had in the body of believers. Now, don't get me wrong, I love the Eucharist. The Eucharist is a massive part of my priestly life. It surrounds my life. I'm dependent on the Eucharist as a priest, in His true and real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. But I can only receive the Eucharist so often. Even a priest, I'm not celebrating Mass all day. I'm not in my church or in my chapel on my knees in front of the Eucharist all day. I certainly do it every day, but it doesn't consume all of my time. Those times between my time with the Eucharist are what sustains me. The times that I experience Holy Communion. I can only receive the Eucharist so often, but I can live in Holy Communion forever. It's what gets me from Eucharist to Eucharist. It's ultimately what gets me to heaven, where only the reality of Jesus Christ exists. We sang in our opening hymn, there will be a day when sacraments cease to exist. In heaven, there's no need for signs. The Eucharist is a sacramental sign that contains the reality that it signifies. But it will cease. It ceases in heaven when there's only eternal communion with the one we love, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this Holy Thursday is different than any you've experienced before. Never have you had to watch Mass in your homes on Holy Thursday. Yet still in this Mass, we celebrate the institution of the Eucharist and we celebrate Holy Communion that Jesus extends to his disciples. It extends far from this church. It extends to you wherever you are, because Holy Communion is not bound by the sacrament. God binds himself to the Eucharist, but he is not bound by it. He comes to you wherever you are. And so as we celebrate the institution, we also celebrate this greater reality. One does not detract from the other. They work in tandem. They have to work hand in hand. And we also celebrate the institution of the ministerial priesthood, the priesthood that I exercise here at this parish, the priesthood that binds me with every other priest living and deceased, and binds me with our Lord Jesus, the high priest. We celebrate that institution tonight as well. But we also celebrate the baptismal priesthood. Every baptized son and daughter, boy and girl, man and woman, is a priest. We share in the same priesthood of Jesus Christ. I in the ministerial head, and you in the baptismal members. Each of us is connected to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. St. Peter writes about this in his first letter, saying, you are a chosen race. You are a holy people. You are a royal priesthood. And again, these priesthoods, the ministerial and the baptized, work together. They don't compete. They're codependent. And so you in your homes celebrate that priesthood tonight, the priesthood that you have by the dignity of your baptism. And what do priests do? Priests offer sacrifice, and priests serve others out of charity. Those are the two main tasks of the priest, to offer sacrifice and to serve others in charity. And Jesus, of course, gave us this great model. He who sacrificed himself and he who stooped and got on his knees and washed the feet of his disciples. He looks at you tonight, brothers and sisters, and he says to you, I have given you a great model. What I have done, you should also do. Tonight we'll have that opportunity in a symbolic way. After my homily, I'm going to sit down and there's going to be a song, and I invite you to gather as a family and to wash one another's feet, to take on that role and dignity of your baptismal priesthood, and to wash the feet of Christ's body in your family members, in your brothers, your sisters, your sons, your daughters, your mothers, your fathers. And then you're going to have more opportunities to do that in the coming week, to serve in charity, to love the body of Christ, to make sacrifice in your homes. It's what priests do. A priest who doesn't offer sacrifice, a priest who doesn't serve others in charity, is a lousy priest. And so today, my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate these mysteries as a priestly people, let's enjoy holy communion with God wherever you are, and holy communion with one another, and let us lay down our lives in a gift of charity.